Stirring from the 13th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the stealing of boys from the calves by Brahma. We'll read the summary here. This chapter describes Lord Brahma's attempt to take away the calves and cowherd boys. It also describes the bewilderment of Lord Brahma and finally the clearance of his illusion. So what does the chapter describe? Anyone listen? Hello?
Hello,
yes. Something. That's something. That's good. Better than this. What else does it describe? That's good. That's half of it. Yeah.
His bewilderment of Brahma, his illusion.
Yes. And clearance of his illusion.
Yes.
So we'll read that again. This chapter describes Lord Brahma's attempt to take away the calves and cowherd boys. It also describes the bewilderment of Lord Brahma, and finally, the clearance of his illusion. Although the incident concerning Agasura had been performed 1 year before, when the cowherd boys were 5 years old, when they were 6 years old, they said, "It happened today." What happened was this. After killing Agasura, Krishna, along with his associates, the cowherd boys went for a picnic within the forest. The cows, being allured by the green grasses, gradually went far away. And therefore Krishna's associates became a little agitated and wanted to bring back the cows. Krishna, however, encouraged the boys by saying, "Take your tiffin without being agitated. I will go find the calves." And thus the Lord departed. Then, just to examine the potency of Krishna, Lord Brahma took away all the calves and cowherd boys and kept them in a secluded place. When Krishna was unable to find the calves and boys, he could understand that this was a trick performed by Brahma. Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, in order to please Lord Brahma, as well as his own associates and their mothers, expanded himself to become the calves and boys exactly as they were before. In this way, he discovered another pastime. A special feature of this pastime was that the mothers of the cowherd boys thus became more attached to their respective sons, and the cows became more attached to their calves. After nearly a year, Baladeva observed that all the cowherd boys and calves were expansions of Krishna. Thus he inquired from Krishna and was informed of what had happened. When one full year had passed, Brahma returned and saw that Krishna was still engaged as usual with his friends and the calves and the cows. Then Krishna exhibited all the calves and cowherd boys as forearm forms of Narayana. Brahma could then understand Krishna's potency and was astonished by the pastime of Krishna, his worshipful Lord. Krishna, however, bestowed his causeless mercy upon Brahma and released him from illusion. Thus, Brahma began to offer prayers to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 1. Sri Shuku Uvacha.
Sri Shuku Uvacha.
Sadhu Krishna Mahabhaga.
Sadhu Krishna Mahabhaga.
Vaya Bhagavato Tamaha.
Vaya Bhagavato Tamaha.
Yanutanaya
sisasya
Shrinvanapi katam muhu
Shrinvanapi katam muhu
Shri Shuka uvacha
Shri Shuka uvacha
Sadhu Krishna Mahabhaga
Sadhu Krishna Mahabhaga
Maya Bhagavatottama
Maya Bhagavatottama Yanutanaya Sisasya
Shrinvanapi Katamuhu
Shrinvanapi Katamuhu Shri Shuka Uvacha
Shri Shuka Uvacha
Sadhu Pristam Mahabhaga
Sadhu Pristam Mahabhaga
Vaya Bhagavatottama
Vaya Bhagavatottama
Yanutanaya Dhanaya Sisasya
Namu Dhanaya Sisasya
Shimbana Pekatamohu
Shimbana Pekatamohu
Shishuka Uvacha
Shishuka Uvacha
Sadhu Krishna Mahabhaga
Shishuka Uvacha
Sadhu Krishna Mahabhaga
Sadhu Krishna Mahabhaga
Vaya Bhagavatottama
Vaya Bhagavatottama
Yanutanaya Sisasya
Yanutanaya Sisasya
Srinivan Apikatamoho
Srinivan Apikatamoho Shukadeva Goswami said,
Sadhu,
Krishnam,
I have been very much honored
by your inquiry. Mahabhaga,
you are a greatly fortunate personality.
By you, Bhagavata Uttama,
O best of devotees,
because,
Nutanayasi,
you are making newer and newer, of the personality of Godhead. Although you are continuously hearing, the pastime, again and again. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada. Srila Shukadeva Goswami said, O best of devotees, most fortunate Parikshit, you have inquired very nicely, for although constantly hearing the pastimes of the Lord, you are perceiving His activities to be newer and newer. Please repeat. Srila Shukadeva Goswami said,
Srila Shukadeva Goswami said,
O best of the devotees,
O best of the devotees,
most fortunate Parikshit,
most fortunate Parikshit,
you have inquired very nicely.
For although constantly hearing the pastimes of the Lord,
you are perceiving His activities
to be newer and newer.
Purport. Unless one is very advanced in Krishna consciousness, one cannot stick to hearing the pastimes of the Lord constantly. Nitya Nava Navaya Mana. Even though advanced devotees hear continually about the Lord for years, they still feel that these topics are coming to them as newer and fresher. Therefore, such devotees cannot give up hearing of the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena Santak Sadaiva Rudayeshu Vilokayanti. The word Santa is used to refer to persons who have developed love for Krishna. Yam Shama Sundaram Achintya Guna Swarupam Govindam Adi Purusham Devam Vidami. Brahma Samhita 5:38. Krishna Maharaj therefore is addressed as Bhagavatottama, the best of devotees, because unless one is very elevated in devotional service, one cannot feel ecstasy from hearing more and more and appreciate the topics as ever fresher and newer. So the text again. Shri Shuku Vacha Sadhu Krishna Mahabhaga Kaya Bhagavatottama Yanu Tanaya Shri Shastya Shrimvanati Kamu. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, O best of the devotees, most fortunate Parikshit,
You have inquired very nicely, for although constantly hearing the pastimes of the Lord, you are perceiving his activities to be newer and newer. Namam Vishnu Puraya Krishna Purushaya Kutvaya Srimati Bhakti Puranta Swami Dhanamane Namaste Sarasatunde Ve Gauravani Kutvaya Nirvishe Shashini Vadi Pasyasya De Sitarne. Krishna Maharaj sat on the bank of the Ganges for 7 days and nights without eating anything, without drinking, without taking any rest. Nor did Shukadeva Goswami have to wake him up. It wasn't that he was sitting there for 2 hours, his eyes appeared to be awake, but he was actually fast asleep. So this is quite extraordinary. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are many devotees and whose activities are quite extraordinary. Murari Chaitanya Das was able to stay underneath the water for 3 days, chanting Hare Krishna. At the same time, he could go to the forest and find tigers, wild tigers, and slap their faces, and find them and the snakes and play with them on his lap. So this is quite extraordinary. If we saw a venomous snake, our first impulse would not be to pick it up and play with it. But he was so much in ecstasy, these things didn't bother. Of course, we can't imitate it, but we should try to see what is our current state of consciousness compared to someone like Krishna Maharaj, who without any difficulty was able to hear constantly about Krishna. It's like Prahlad Maharaj, he was in Krishna consciousness, and therefore, somehow or another, even though he was put into a pot of boiling oil, he wasn't affected by it. Nor when he was thrown over a mountain or underneath the feet of an elephant, a wild elephant, did he become disturbed. We ourselves in a similar position, we may cry out for Krishna, but it probably wouldn't be in the highest form of happiness and ecstasy in such circumstance. So what's the difference? Well, our philosophy is quite consistent. So most of us are somewhere between Nishtha and Bhajana Kriya. And they're between Bhajana Kriya and Anartha Nivritti. There's Anartha Nivritti. Clearance of all material anarthas. Artha means that which we're supposed to be doing, and anartha means that which we're not supposed to be doing. And in those anarthas, there are as many aparads, things that are against the feelings of devotion. And in Krishna Bhakti Prabhupada writes, the art of Krishna consciousness is the art of paying one's attention and then giving one's love to Krishna. So first, we have to see that our lack is that we don't pay so much attention. Sometimes we wonder, well, I don't have very much memory, or my memory is not very good. That's because usually we don't pay any attention. We're not interested in the subject matter. Therefore, we don't hear it to begin with. If we don't hear something, it's very difficult to remember it. If we ask you what happened yesterday on the moon planet, it would be very difficult because we're not on the moon planet. And therefore we have no idea what happened on the moon planet. So how can we remember it? Similarly, if we were on the moon planet and we were thinking about what was like in Timisoara, we wouldn't be really on the moon planet either. We wouldn't know what happened on the moon planet because our consciousness, our attention is somewhere else. Similarly, we have to train our attention, first of all, because if we all know if something dramatic happens that we like, say you went to a movie, we don't recommend that, say you went to a movie, King Kong meets Count Dracula in Timisoara. They had their annual meeting, AGM. So you watched the movie, and you had somehow or another, Count Dracula was in your family line. your royal blood. So you were interested in the movie. Then at night you probably dreamed about it. You couldn't forget the movie. Even if you wanted to forget when you're chanting around. Instead of remembering Krishna, you remember the movie. Because we pay attention to things we like. One problem we have is we don't like the idea that Krishna's God. So that's a big problem. That he's enjoying so much and I'm suffering. It's not fair. Not only that, but even if I do everything I can, I follow the process perfectly, this process they're giving me, still I become smaller than my conception of who I am rather than bigger. My size gets reduced to 1/10,000th the size of a tip of a hair. Not a happy thing to look forward to for a conditioned soul. My ego gets smaller and smaller and goes, what happened to me? I thought I was struggling to become significant, but now I'm finding out I'm eternally the most insignificant. And I had to work so hard to become insignificant. So we don't like this idea. I'm going to work hard, and what's the result? I'll become even more insignificant than I think I am now. So who's going to work like it? We've been working since time immemorial, struggling to get some position in the material world, either to get a better one or maintain the one we already have, or not to get a lesser one. Now I'm going to work twice as hard and get no position in the material world. So we don't know what a position is like in the spiritual world. We can only guess according to our own relative material position. It's something like the best material experience I ever had, whatever that may be. So if I work harder and harder and harder, I may get something like that. Therefore, at first, we're not very much interested in hearing about Krishna, because it seems like it's an impossible task to do it. My mind is so uncontrolled. There are so many things to just to normally live in the material world just to survive. There's so many things I have to think about. There's so many opposition, especially in Kali Yuga. Everyone seems to be against us. The government's against us. Our family's against us. We don't know who our friends are. Our body's against us. The weather is against us. Everything is against us. So we're just struggling to survive. And now we have to chant Hare Krishna in the midst of that and pay attention. So at first we try mechanically to pay attention, but we don't get anything out of it. Hare Krishna, it didn't work. Do it again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And sometimes the boys at the beginning, they find a wall and they hit their head against the wall. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Just so they wouldn't get distracted. The pain was so much that they couldn't think of anything else but the pain in Hare Krishna. But that didn't work. So then we think, well, maybe I should control my mind. So when we're chanting Hare Krishna, control my, there the mind goes, bring it back. Oh, there it goes again. It's going everywhere. Oh, this is too much. Let me go to sleep. Hare Krishna. Oh, that was relief. That's too much work. So we think our job is to control the mind going everywhere. Or control the senses, whatever else. But actually, that's not really our business, because we're not supposed to be the controller of anything. So how are we going to control our minds? If we're not the controllers of the material energy, then how is it suddenly I get elected to become the controller of my mind, which I've never been able to control anyway. And even I think now I'm controlling my mind, the mind says, yes, you're really amazing. I really appreciate it. You've made it. You're the best of all mind controllers. Then we won't wind up listening to the mind anyhow, chanting our glory. Hey, you're really powerful. I surrender. No, actually, we're not in the process of advancing. We're supposed to find out that we're not the controllers, but the only way we can find out we're not the controller is to find out who the real controller is. Because as long as we don't recognize the actual controller, Krishna, then we'll never find out that we're not the controllers. And unless we surrender to Krishna, our mind won't be controlled enough by Krishna in order to realize that we're not the controllers. In other words, we have to ask Krishna to become the controller of my mind and senses. So how does Krishna become the controller of mind and senses? Well, when we become conscious of Krishna, then we don't have to worry about the mind and senses because they come under Krishna's control. As soon as we become conscious of him, then they come under his control. We're only, material nature is controlling our mind and senses only because we're not conscious of Krishna. And as soon as we become conscious of Krishna, automatically Krishna takes control. Actually, Krishna is always controlling. But because we're desiring to be apart from Krishna, Krishna allows us so many different varieties of material activities in which we imagine ourselves to be the prime actor in the drama. Everyone's a hero in their own drama. Actually, they're not the hero. Their body and mind is the hero. So, as long as we want to be big, important actors in the material as long as we want to be important actors, and we think that we have some amazing role to play. And of course, in Kali Yuga, where we're so crippled in every respect, we can hardly walk from one place to the next without some problem, hearing our limbs creaking or our back aching. But to speak of something else going on. In this age, we're pretty insignificant. In order to become significant, you have to train. Now, from probably you're 5 years old, you just began to speak, and immediately your parents put a tennis racket in your hand, and you're out on the tennis court 12 hours a day practicing, because you have to become a success by the time you're 7, or else you're out of it. You'll never become a star unless you're an expert by the time you're 7 years old. And then by the time you're 20, you're finished. You're too old to play tennis anymore. So in the age of Kali, where people are, everything is diminishing. Tathasthanudinam satyam. Tathasthanudinam dharma. Satyam sotyam dayashnava. Balyena Kalina Raja Nakshantya Yorbalam Sripi. Everything diminishes in Kali Yuga. Namely our dharma, our ability to follow religious principles. Even when we know something is correct, we can't follow it because we're too attached to the incorrect. Or we don't know it's correct or incorrect. We've been trained up that the incorrect is actually the correct. And the correct is the incorrect. That's our dharma. To have a little success, take intoxication, and eat anything you like, and speculate. Come on, this is considered to be pious in Kali Yuga. If you can speculate better than anyone else, then you do a PhD degree. If you just follow the authorities, you're considered to be useless academically. And if you don't enjoy sense gratification, you're underproducer, underachiever. More or less, you might as well be dead because you aren't doing anything for yourself or society. Parasite. What do you call it, devoted? Parasites. They just, they're so crazy that they get out of bed and all day long they still wear the same thing they wore in bed. Not only that, they don't even wear pajamas. They wear bed sheets. Everything that you ask them, they say Krishna. They're so bewildered that all they can say is Krishna. They have nothing else to say. Their brains has been completely washed. Now there's nothing but Krishna left in it. And once in a while they go on the street and they jump up and down like mad people with big smiles on their face. Just to wake up. After all, if you wore a bed sheet all day long, you'd always feel tired. So they're just happy they can jump up and down in the street once in a while. So people think we're crazy and we're not engaging in anything serious, like illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, eating. Therefore, we don't work in order to get these things. Therefore, we're useless to society and for ourselves. So this drama that's going on, especially in Kali Yuga, people are weak, they have no strength, they have no memory, they have no mercy, they have no truthfulness, they have hardly anything. So they're watching themselves suffer. Not a very big traumatic performance. But they take pleasure. That I am the most suffering of everyone. I'm the most pitiable. This could be made into a Shakespearean either a comedy or a drama, my life. It's a Shakespearean drama. But after all, it's just an illusion that we're not actually the actors in this so-called drama. And therefore, trying to make a better drama or being disgusted with our present drama that we're going through, it's all more or less useless. It's all concerning the drama of our material existence. The best thing, after all, is to become Krishna conscious, to utilize the body in Krishna's service. Then that drama becomes something auspicious. It becomes an opportunity to become more and more conscious of Krishna. As we utilize the body more and more in Krishna's service, then our consciousness of Krishna increases, and then we find out that Krishna is not an ordinary person. That everything about Krishna is extraordinary, and as we become more conscious of Krishna, we find that there's no end to the amount of happiness one can experience by becoming more and more conscious of Krishna. So that's literally inconceivable to us because we already think we figured it all out. We always think like that. We think we went to school and we graduated somehow or another, and therefore I know practically everything. Maybe there's a few new things to find out, but I'll go on the web and find them out so that I keep up. As Krishna's expanding, he's unlimited, but he's expanding his knowledge. So I'm also unlimited, but I'm just expanding my knowledge as time goes on. So we think we've read Bhagavad Gita, we've already understood the philosophy, I'm not the body, Krishna's God. I already understood everything. What more is there to say? We read Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's God. I already knew that. Why should you repeat it? You said it on the last page. Why do you keep on repeating, you're not the body, my God? How many times, don't you have anything new to say? We think Prabhupada wrote so many books. Yeah, because all he says is every page is not the body. I have read a lot of books like that too. So we think we already understood. Actually, if we understood it, we'd be in a completely different state of consciousness. Therefore, the books have to be explained in many different ways to us, so that gradually we get some part of the understanding. We're not the body. Don't hanker, don't lament. Krishna breaks it down. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. Become joyful. The person who's in Brahma Bhuta stage, he becomes joyful. Prasanatma. Because Prasanta. Nishoshiti, Nakangshiti. So, to reach Brahma Buddha, we're not supposed to hanker or lament. So try that for 10 minutes. See how many times you're lamenting in 10 minutes. How many thoughts you can put into, if you sit down with a piece of paper, record all your thoughts for 10 minutes. If you can keep up with them. You can write that thing. And then divide the page in half and put how many hankering thoughts and how many lamenting thoughts. And a small column over here, how many were about Krishna? How many were Well, first of all, how many had anything to do with philosophy? Then how many of the philosophy was actually the truth? And then what was about Krishna? Then we'd be quite surprised. Or maybe we wouldn't be surprised. Maybe we'd be surprised that actually I thought about Krishna once. And I really thought about it carefully. So, this anger and lamentation. That's a big category. And then see how often we're lamenting about the same thing again and again and again and again. How many were suddenly lamenting about our present circumstances, we're lamenting about the past circumstances, and we're lamenting about how the future circumstances. I'm going to die, you can write down a few times, I'm going to die. And then write down about all the things that happened in the past. I didn't pass the test, I didn't, you know. See how deep our lamentation is, and all the different degrees. Well, that lamentation didn't affect me so much. Oh, that lamentation, I can't stand it. And that lamentation was all right. All the different varieties and intensity of lamentation. And angering. So this is generally the conditioned soul. And so when we read these books, we're generally absorbed in also on one layer of our consciousness. We're hankering and lamenting, and we're paying a little attention to what says in the books, or what says in the lecture. So, in this way, it's difficult for us to pay attention, because we're trying to pay attention through a layer of material energy, through layers of material energy. We're trying to reach out our consciousness through layers, and all the layers are trying to divert our attention. Suddenly, we're trying to pay attention, and the mind goes, here, go over here. We say, no, I don't want to go over there. All right, go over here. Wow, here, sure, that's a good place. Wait a second, I should come back. All right, here, go there, there, all there. My God, this is too difficult to pay attention. Therefore, the only thing to do is to take shelter of Krishna. Otherwise, if we try to pierce through the armor that surrounds our consciousness of the three modes of material nature, we're going to find out we're quite weak. So one has to realize to some extent, try to accept that there is a Krishna, and rely upon Krishna to help us. Then with that, and that rely upon Krishna means transcendental knowledge, that there's no reason why I should be diverted by all these different thoughts that are coming to my mind. I should just let them pass, and at the same time, just go on with my business. Then, when we chant Hare Krishna, we shouldn't worry where the mind's going, we should worry where we're going to go. We should chant Hare Krishna in such a way that we're actually calling out to Srimati Radharani and Krishna. No matter what the mind is telling us, so much important business we have, so many important things to lament about, so many important things to hanker for, so many distractions in the present. No, we should just take it as our business to call out to Srimati Radharani and Krishna. And then the result is, if we finally do that, we might remember Srimati Radharani and Krishna and their associates. So that's called Krishna consciousness. That's what we're actually trying to accomplish, to become conscious of Krishna. We're not trying to conquer anyone else or even our own mind and senses. We're supposed to try to utilize the mind and senses, which automatically conquers them, and engage them in Krishna service. So, the most effective way is by chanting Hare Krishna. And that means we should especially concentrate on, learn how to chant most effectively, so that we actually remember Krishna. Whether we're in happiness and distress, or it's hot or cold outside, and this and that, it may not be completely under our control, perhaps it's not under our control, but our desires are under our control. Therefore, we should judge our desires by how much I'm actually becoming conscious of Krishna, how much I'm becoming detached from all this disturbance that's going on, and how much I'm able to see everyone and everything as they're related to Krishna, rather than as related to my false conceptions of things that are when I think that things are independent of Krishna. Then, if we become conscious of Krishna, then we'll be able to gradually feel Krishna's presence and experience. Just like here, we can also try to utilize it when we're reading to visualize, for instance. Pay attention to what we read is the first thing, and then try to visualize what we read. Make it into a deed. Honor it by making it into a deed. Just like we asked, what was the verse we read today? What's the translation of the verse we read today? The first word in the English. What was the translation? Now we've got to look at the Sanskrit to try to get it in. What are we talking about? What was this lecture all about anyhow? Which book are we reading? What time of the day is it anyhow? When is Prashadam? Anyone can guess what the verse was? Who's talking to who? Yes, now we're... And what did he say? What was he praising him for?
Because although he heard the topics about Krishna over and over, he finds them newer and newer and ever fresh.
Yeah, so how many feel like that? How many pick up the Bhagavad Gita and thinking, this is the first time now I'm going to read the Bhagavad Gita and get some fresh experience? Day no sminyata day. Come on, open up the Shatada Hantara. Wow, I really want to read that verse. Find out what Krishna, what this is all about. But Pariksha Maharaj is like that. That's the problem. So I know a bunch of neophytes I got to talk about Vrnathabad. If only Krishna would have sent some Rasika devotees, I could have talked about something interesting. You know, Radha, you know, was hankering for Krishna and the groves of Vrindavan. Something interesting. No, Pariksha Maharaj, whatever he was hearing with great interest, that's why he didn't fall asleep. It was all natural. And at the end, Sukadeva Goswami, if he would have asked Maharaj Pariksha, now I've spoken to you for 7 days, what do you remember? You were talking about Krishna, right? Something about Krishna, I can't remember what it was. Snake bird, that's all I can remember. Snake bird coming. He's on the radar. You're talking about some anti-snake bird machine. Somewhere, that's what I was thinking. I was waiting for that. No, he could have probably repeated it. Know exactly what Sukadeva Goswami said, but he had heard it with rapt attention. Knowing to hear with rapt attention was unless one's mind is controlled, one's mind can't be controlled, unless one's senses are controlled, one's senses can't be controlled, unless they're utilized in Krishna's service completely, in all the activities, especially eating, sleeping, etc. So Pariksha Maharaj is happy to hear again and again the passages of Krishna, and therefore he was called Bhagavad Uttama, the best of all the devotees, and fortunate, Mahabhagavat. And he also inquired, he didn't sit there like a lucky, when he couldn't understand anything, he actually inquired. He was actually interested, it was a dynamic reciprocation, not that I gotta sit here 7 days left, six, you know, the snake bird's coming, 6 days, when is this all going to be over? I have a question. I'm hungry. When do we eat? No, he was dynamically, listening attentively. When he couldn't, when he heard something interesting, he inquired, I can see now. How is it that these boys were 5 years old when Adasura was killed, but they told their parents about it when they were six, because it happened just the same day. So, any questions? Thank you. Yes.
In
example, if the mind has a control, no. Where does our control end and give Krishna's control? How do you combine it?
Yeah, we don't exactly say no. In the sense that no comes from our previous association, and it comes from some other person who told us no. Maybe our mother said, don't drink too many Coca-Colas. So we take shelter of our mother. Mama, help me. So mama says, don't drink too many Coca-Colas. And by the force of her authority, we decide not to drink. No, we get the strength not to drink another Coca-Cola. So we don't have any independent force, but we have, according to whoever we took shelter of, we get the force from them. Otherwise, if you grew up in a Coca-Cola factory where everyone was intoxicated on Coca-Cola every day, when you saw a Coca-Cola, you would take it without any hesitation. Everyone said, drink Coke, it's the real thing. You never think of it because we had association with someone who said it's not a good thing. You know, you put a nickel in a Coca-Cola bottle, overnight it dissolves. And you think, that doesn't sound very good. Then you hesitate because you heard from the authorities as a materialist version. Now, material authorities may not be so powerful. You think, oh, what the heck, I'm going to die anyhow. Might as well die with Coke in my stomach. Die happy. Only if we get some spiritual authority do we actually get the strength to conquer over all kinds of material conceptions. But we take the credit falsely that by my strength, I'm conquering over these habits or something. Anything else? Yes.
The previous day, I saw that the cowherd boys were very confident in Krishna. They always thought that he would protect him, although he was a small boy like himself. How come they were so trusting? Oh, Krishna, they wanted to enter the mouth of the snake. Oh, Krishna will protect them.
They had experience. Krishna has saved them from other things, fires, etc. So they had some experience that Krishna wasn't. They thought he was a nice boy, but they thought he had some special talents. Although they thought sometimes that they were as powerful like he was, too. Because they were. But this is, you know, it was by practical experience. Not that, you know, the last time there was a snake, Krishna ran from it. This time there's a big snake, but somehow or another we'll trust in Krishna this time. Look, Krishna's running away from the mouse, and he's running away. No, they knew by past experience that Krishna was very powerful. Although he's an ordinary boy like they were, somehow or another he had some extraordinary powers. Otherwise, who in their right mind would do that? They were no crazy little boys. We're devotees. Therefore, we're supposed to trust in Krishna, although, no, they knew Krishna was powerful, but he had split in half this huge duck, Bakasura. He had done so many things before this. He had, you know, dragged the trees, did so many things. And they got more and more confident. Anything else?
Okay.
Thank you very much. Grandeur, Shimad Bhagavatam, Kijaya.
Kijaya.